Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
Thank you, choir. Thank you for that little extra there, flautists. Yes, thank you. Very nice, very nice. The Gospel of John, the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 41. You'll find the passage in your pew Bibles or your personal Bible, or you will find it on the screen as we follow along. These are the words of God for the people of God. Listen to what they have to say. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it's someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Now how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He answered, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisee the man who had formerly been blind. Now it is with the Sabbath day, or it was the Sabbath day, when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. So he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What did you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been born blind and received his sight until they spoke to his parents of the man who had received his sight, and they asked him, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then did he receive his sight?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." The parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been born blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciples, but we are the disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins. And are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." So the Pharisees heard him say this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." Now we can all take a deep breath. And remember, these are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God, if there are things we are born with into this world that we need to have washed away, reveal them to us so that we can do what Jesus says to do, and that our eyes can be opened, and that we can give our testimony of what we know. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. It is interesting that sometimes Jesus heals people who calls out his name and asks to be healed. And then there are some who Jesus initiates healing to. One such person is an unnamed person that we find in John's Gospel today. He says that he was walking along and he sees this blind man. And the disciples also see him. And they have a question that many of us ask about things that may happen to those we love, or maybe people we don't know, or maybe things happen to us. Sometimes you and I want an explanation. We want to know why. We want to know why. Those of us who've been in philosophy class, we know that why is sometimes a philosophical question. Why can also be a theological question, but why in theology is a desire to drink and to eat and to know more about God. Why is not a question that wants God to give them an answer so that he can be accountable to us. Sometimes why is a very difficult question because sometimes we don't always know why. Rabbi Kushner, who writes many books about pain and suffering, says that why may not be the right question. A better question may be, what now? What do we do now? What is our next step now? Well, Jesus answers the question for the disciple when asked, who sinned, this man or his parents? For you see, it was the Jewish belief that you and I could sin in our mother's womb. Maybe you and I had a bad thought. Maybe we did something that was displeasing to God as we were developing in our mother's womb. So we sinned, and God punished us. In this case, with blindness. That was a belief held by religious people in their time. Well, you and I, we know different now. We know that that is not the case. But then, they did not know that then. That was something they believed. Or that the parents had committed a sin and God was punishing them or was punishing the child by their parents' sin. You will recall that verse where it says that God passed the sins of their parents to the first, second, and third generation, right? You've read that. That's in Deuteronomy. So they had a reason for asking if his parents sinned. Maybe God was punishing the child to teach the parents a lesson. It was a question that Jesus was willing to ask. And it's interesting that you and I need to remember this. What his answer was, he said, neither. Neither. Many times when you and I experience things in our lives, We oftentimes think, God, what did I do to deserve this? What did I do that was so bad that you thought that I had to experience this, to experience the guilt, the shame, or to come to you for repentance? What have I done that was so bad? It is my belief, I don't know what your belief is, I believe that we are born into a broken world. I believe as a result of what Adam and Eve did in the garden, that's why you and I experience many of the things we experience in this world. I think if you and I are looking at someone to blame, I don't think we should blame God. I don't blame God for the bad things that happen in life. I don't blame other people for evil existing in this world. I go to Adam and Eve. They are the ones who started it. There was not birth pains in the world until Adam and Eve disobeyed. There wasn't hard work in the garden where you worked by the sweat of your brow, where the earth would not cooperate with you until Adam and Eve broke that covenant with God and did what God told them not to do. So if you and I are looking for someone to blame, we can blame Adam and Eve. They are the reason Jesus came into the world, because our world is broken. And there is nothing that you and I can do to get us out of that brokenness except Christ, coming to Christ and Him washing us of that which we have done against Him and one another, and that is called sin. Remember now, in John's Gospel, sin is unbelief. When God does something in this world and touches this world in a certain way, those who do not believe are condemned because they do not believe. Well, why are they condemned because they don't believe? Because trust is not established. When you and I do not trust people, our lives do not go well, because you've got to trust somebody. You've got to make yourself vulnerable to somebody when you trust them. When someone uses our trust against us and does something against us because we trusted them, we did not fail by trusting them. They failed by using our trust against us. You and I are supposed to trust. The one we marry, we're supposed to trust. The people we make covenant with and join the church to, we're supposed to trust. We're supposed to trust our minister. We're supposed to trust one another. But oftentimes, as a result of what's happened to us, and as a result of trusting and happening things to us, it becomes so harder to trust at times, because sometimes our trust has proved that people will use our trust against us. So we don't want to be hurt anymore. We don't want to feel that pain anymore. But brothers and sisters, you can't get away from that pain. You can't get away from being hurt anymore. Because when you and I try to save ourselves from being hurt, then we also save ourselves from being able to trust one another. You can't have it both ways. I can't love my wife Mary and not trust her because one day I think she'll leave me. You can't do it. It doesn't happen. I can't love her and then prepare myself for her to leave me at the same time. That's a Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of thing. I either have to believe or not believe. I choose to believe, just in case you're wondering. Is the preacher saying something? You know, John does speak on two levels. Maybe Randall's speaking on two levels. So Jesus come. He then says to this man, he spits in the ground. Now that's sort of gross for us before lunchtime. But Jesus takes saliva, and it was believed in the Jewish faith that when the Messiah comes, even his spittle will have power to heal. Notice what Jesus does with his spittle. He takes it and he mixes it with what? Dirt. What does dirt and spittle make? Mud. Sidebar. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Mud. What did God do with dirt? What did He shape into His own image? You and me. Here we have the divine taking mud, dirt, smearing it on a man's eyes who was made born blind. He is recreating. That's why Jesus came into the world, to recreate what we lost in the fall. And He said to the man, now go, and the place where He sent him is the word sent. It means sent. In the Gospel of John, the Great Commission is, as the Father sent me, so I send you. He sends us out. He sent the man to wash, and out of obedience he went. And when he washed, what happened? He regained his sight. He was given sight. He got back what he lost in the garden. What was a result from the garden? Blindness. And now he sees. And now that people see him seeing, they know that there is something going on. So they inquire of him. You know, inquiring minds want to know, hey, what happened to you? I mean, you used to beg for a living. I saw you day after day after day. I know that's you. What happened to you? He says, a man named Jesus rubbed mud on my eyes and sent me to wash. And when I washed, then I saw. I got my sight back. Well, where is he? I don't know. He's nowhere to be found. I don't see him. I don't even know what he looks like. And then there were others who said, wait a minute. This isn't the man. Oh, he looks like him, but this isn't the man. This isn't who he is. And then they took him to the authorities. And boy, there's where they really ask him the questions. What did this man do to you? He put mud on my eyes and he sent me to wash. Oh, so he did work on the Sabbath? Because making mud is considered work. Oh, well, that tells us right now he's not from God, or he would not have made that mud to put on your eyes because he broke the Sabbath. You know, it's more important not to make mud than it is to help someone see, right? It's more important to obey rules than it is to help someone who's in need, right? Well, they began to inquire of him time and time and time again. And eventually he just said, hey, I've told you once and I've told you twice and you do not believe. I can only tell you what I know. I was once blind and now I see. I wonder if there's anybody who could talk you and me out of our salvation. I wonder if there's anybody who could say to you and me, you know, are you sure you're saved? Do you know that Jesus Christ is really the Lord and Savior of your life? Do you really know that the Lord Jesus Christ is really the Savior? I mean, could you and me be talked out of what you and I know by experience? In your salvation, would a good metaphor be for you and me that we were once blind and now we see? When Christ became our Savior, did we know we were changed? Could people see that we were changed? Could people know all along that God was working in our lives and then knew as a result of what we do and have been doing that they know that Christ is our Lord and Savior? What about people who don't believe that Jesus is the Lord? Could they convince you and me that we just need to give God thanks? That Jesus isn't the Messiah? Or do you and I know? Know that what He did on Calvary's cross and what God did through Jesus Christ is the reason we are where we are. Do we know that? And do we share that? There are things in mind in your life, brothers and sisters, that you and I will always go through, and we will always wonder why. We will always try and find a reason why it has happened, because a lot of times you and I try to make sense out of nonsense. Sometimes no sense can be made out of it. The God I trust is not the God who has put in this world oftentimes what takes life and what makes life miserable and horrible. The reason of our broken world is why God sent Jesus into the world, was for us to know that God is aware of our suffering. Just like in Egypt, God said to Moses, "Tell the children of Israel, I have heard their cry. And in response to their cry, I am sending them a deliverer." Today, brothers and sisters, when you and I cry out, God hears us. That's why He sent Jesus into the world. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit into the world to enter into you and me, so that we might not be alone. But be warned, if you and I believe today, the Holy Spirit will come and live in mine in your life. But if you and I do not believe, if you and I choose to work on our own and we try to be good enough and we try to do all the right things, God will hand us over to that kind of life. Paul had a word for that. He called it the wrath of God. He called it the wrath of God. For Paul, the wrath of God was God letting you and me, if we so choose, not to trust Him. If we so choose to try and make it on our own, to try and be pure and holy and as good as Jesus, and try to make it without Him. God, if we so choose, will let us do that. We'll fail at it. We won't succeed at it. We will be miserable at it. But God loves us enough to let us do that. But if we find out that that's not the way, and we come back to Him and we say, "Lord, I've made a mistake. I've chosen the wrong way. I do believe. Receive me into yourself." The Lord will say, "Enter in." For God will not abandon us or orphan us. He will choose to receive us if we so choose Him. For it's in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May we pray. It is Your amazing grace, O Lord, that we sit in this place today as a result of Your amazing grace that we find in Jesus Christ. He came to us, convicted us of our sins, and has enabled us to confess our sins and to receive Him by faith. And today the Holy Spirit reigns and rules in our life. And for that, O Lord, we pray that our life is a message to all who would see it, and when given the opportunity, a message to share in word as well. Now be with us as we stand this morning and turn to 378 and sing our verses, "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound." We sing it in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and may the people of God say together, Amen.